Have you ever thought about what happens if, like, a property owner, they have second thoughts, and they want to back out of a real estate deal? Can they just walk away scot-free?
It's a really interesting question, and today on the Deep Dive, we're going to get into it with a case straight from the California Supreme Court.
Yeah, we're talking Blank v. Borden, a 1974 case, super relevant for all you law students out there.
Absolutely, because it gets right into the heart of contract law. We're talking penalty clauses, what counts as alternative performance, and all that good stuff in the world of real estate brokerage.
And to make sure we really get this right, we've got some great resources. We've got the podcast guidance, which really highlights the big arguments. And then we've got a couple of seriously detailed case briefs that break down the facts, what the court decided, even the dissenting opinions. So we're going to try and put it all together, cut through all the legal jargon.
And answer the big question: was the withdrawal from sale clause in the contract between Blank, the broker, and Borden, the property owner, a real choice they made or an illegal penalty?
All right, let's unpack this. Let's start with the basics. Exclusive right to sell real estate brokerage agreements. What are they and why are they so important?
So these agreements are super common in real estate. They basically give one broker the exclusive right to market and sell a property for a certain amount of time.
Makes sense. And why is that exclusivity so important?
Well, the broker's putting in the time, the money, the effort to find a buyer, and they're usually expecting to get a commission, a percentage of the sale price when a sale actually happens. So there's a lot at stake for the broker.
Right. So it makes sense why they want some sort of protection. And that's where these withdrawal clauses come in, right?
Exactly. Withdrawal clauses are there just in case the owner changes their mind during that exclusive period. Maybe they decide not to sell at all, or maybe they try to go around the agreement by taking the property off the market temporarily. These clauses protect the broker's investment and make sure they get something for their work.
Okay, so that's the context. Now let's dive into Blank v. Borden. Give us the rundown. What are the facts of this case?
So the agreement was signed on April 26, 1970, between Ben Blank, the real estate broker, and Erica Borden, who owned this weekend home out in Palm Springs.
Okay, right.
It was an exclusive authorization and right to sell set to last for 7 months until November 25th of that year. They listed the price at $85,000, and Blank was going to get a 6% commission on that.
All right. Pretty standard stuff so far. But there's more to this, right?
Right, here's where it gets interesting. The contract also had this withdrawal clause.
Ah, okay. So tell me, what did that clause say?
Basically, it said that if Borden withdrew the property from the market during those 7 months, or if she did anything that made it unmarketable, voluntarily, she'd still have to pay Blank that 6% commission.
Interesting. So what happened next? Did Blank start trying to sell the property?
Oh, absolutely. Blank started doing his thing, advertising, reaching out to potential buyers, the whole nine yards.
Okay. And then Borden pulled the rug out from under him.
Well, yeah, kind of. Just 2 months into the agreement, on June 26, 1970, Borden tells Blank, "You know what? I don't want to sell anymore. I'm taking the property off the market."
I bet Blank was not happy about that.
Not one bit, especially after all the time and effort he'd already put in. So he sued Borden to get that 6% commission.
What happened at the trial?
The trial court actually sided with Blank. They awarded him $5,100 plus interest.
Wow. So Borden had to pay up.
Well, not quite. She decided to appeal, arguing that the withdrawal clause was an illegal penalty.
Okay, and this is where things get really legally interesting, right?
Exactly. This brings us to the heart of the matter. Was that clause a genuine alternative performance or a penalty?
For our listeners who might not be super familiar with contract law, could you break down the difference between those two?
Sure. A penalty, and this is kind of generally speaking from the California Civil Code sections 1670 and 1671, they basically say that clauses that punish someone for breaking a contract, those are usually not enforceable.
Okay, but an alternative performance, that's different, right?
Right. That's a legitimate choice within the contract, something both parties agree to upfront.
Gotcha. So how did the California Supreme Court view the clause in Blank v. Borden?
This is where the alternative performance doctrine comes in. Chief Justice Wright, he wrote the majority opinion. He said that the clause gave Borden a real choice. She could let Blank try to sell the property and pay the 6% if he was successful. Or if she changed her mind, she could just end the agreement early by paying that same 6%.
So it was like she had two options from the very beginning.
Right. And the court really stressed that this wasn't about punishing her after she did something wrong. It was about a preset cost for choosing a specific path.
The guidance also mentioned this thing called the rational choice test. What's that all about?
It basically means that the court cared about whether Borden could understand and weigh her options when she signed the contract. Could she look at the potential benefits of selling versus the cost of changing her mind? And since she had that choice from the start, and the cost was clear, the court thought it was more like a valid alternative than a punishment.
And I think it's interesting that the court also pointed out the unique nature of brokerage agreements.
Absolutely. They highlighted that brokers usually only get paid if they actually make a sale. So, in a way, this 6% withdrawal fee was kind of similar to the commission they would have gotten if they'd sold the property at the listed price. The court even said it wasn't an invidious quality characteristic of a penalty or forfeiture. They really emphasized Borden's choice in the matter.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not about punishing Borden. It's about honoring a choice she made with a price tag attached, right?
Right. It was already built into the agreement.
Interesting stuff. So everyone agreed with that interpretation, right?
Well, not everyone. There was a dissenting opinion from Justice Tobrunner.
Ah, okay. What did he have to say?
Justice Tobrunner felt that the 6% payment was only triggered when Borden broke the agreement by taking the property off the market. So he saw it as a penalty, plain and simple. He thought it was designed to pressure her to stick with blank for the whole 7 months.
So basically he was saying, look at the practical effect of this clause, not just the wording.
Right. And he was also worried about the potential for abuse. He thought this kind of clause could be used to force homeowners to pay a bunch of money, even if the broker hadn't really done that much work.
The guidance also mentioned something about the dissent calling for liquidated damages scrutiny. What does that mean in this context?
Basically, when a contract sets a specific amount of damages before any breach happens, California law says those damages have to be a reasonable estimate of the actual harm. Justice Tobrunner didn't think this 6% fee matched up with what Blank actually lost, especially if he hadn't done much before Borden withdrew the property.
So the dissent was basically saying, don't let fancy legal language hide a penalty. Make sure these clauses are fair.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got this split decision. What kind of framework did the court give us for evaluating similar clauses in future cases?
Well, even though they didn't explicitly lay it all out, the guidance pulls out three big factors.
Go on, tell us.
First, was the agreement freely negotiated? Like, did both parties have a fair shot at understanding and agreeing to the terms? Second, was there a real choice between different options when the contract was made, like we talked about with the rational choice test?
And the third factor,
whether the compensation in the clause is connected to a specific outcome or the lack of one, kind of like how a commission depends on a successful sale.
And all of this goes back to those basic contract law ideas, right?
Absolutely. Things like mutual assent, where both sides understand what they're getting into, and the idea that you shouldn't enforce contract terms that are super unfair or one-sided.
So what does this all mean for law students? Or anyone involved in real estate, really?
Well, this case gives real estate brokers a way to write these withdrawal clauses so that they look like alternative performance options, not penalties. If they do it this way, courts are more likely to uphold them.
But what about the homeowners? What should they keep in mind?
Read those contracts super carefully. Don't just skim them. Because even if a sale doesn't happen, you might still be on the hook for those withdrawal fees if they're written a certain way.
The guidance pointed out a few other things too, like the timing of the evaluation really matters.
Oh yeah, that's key. The court focused on what was going on when the contract was signed, not what happened afterwards.
So it didn't really matter how much work Blank had actually done. The trigger was the withdrawal itself.
Exactly.
And there's also the whole public policy angle, right?
Right. It seems like the court wanted to make sure that real estate deals are predictable and everyone knows what to expect. These kinds of clauses help with that.
But the guidance also cautioned us not to oversimplify things. Just because this specific clause was upheld doesn't mean every withdrawal clause will be.
Right. They still have to meet those criteria we talked about, freely negotiated, genuine choice, compensation tied to results.
If there's a huge power imbalance, or the clause is just crazy unfair, a court could still throw it out.
Exactly.
So to wrap it all up, the big takeaway from Blank v. Borden is that there's this critical difference between a valid alternative performance and an illegal penalty. And this case shows us how courts look at these real estate contract clauses. It's not just about what the clause is called, it's about what it actually does.
It makes you think, was this really a choice both sides made, or was it a way to force a certain outcome?
Well, that's something to think about. And with the court focusing so much on rational choice at signing, it makes you wonder how they'd handle these clauses if there was a big power imbalance between the broker and the homeowner.
That's a good question.
And does a ruling like this make brokers more likely to really try and sell a property? Or do they just sit back and wait for that withdrawal fee? Lots to ponder.
For sure. Blank v. Borden is a case that keeps on giving.
It really is. Well, that's our deep dive into Blank v. Borden. For all you law students out there, keep exploring contract law and especially real estate agreements. This case is a classic, and it's still relevant today.
Absolutely. Understanding cases like this is key to navigating the world of contracts.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. And until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.
See you next time.